Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Real quick, during worship, do you know how many times they talk about the word shout in the Bible? Lots of times. A couple interesting scriptures, Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you." How many put their trust in the Lord? It says, "Let you rejoice, let them shout for joy." That was weak, but we'll keep going. "Because you defend them, let those also who love your name be joyful in you." Psalm 32:11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Amen. I love this one. Listen, this is really interesting. "Sing to him a new song, but listen, play skillfully with a shout of joy." It says, play skillfully with a shout of joy. I thought, Lord, I want to learn more about that. I want to be skillful in my shout. Anybody else? Yeah. Tell you, I got back this weekend. Our girls swam at OFSA. And so you have a lot of people at OFSA because it's from people from all over Ontario. Really interesting, as we were there, the typical Ontario, the typical Canadian cheering was happening, which was nothing. I don't know what it is about Canada, but man, I'll tell you, it drives me crazy because people are swimming and I'm expecting, like, this is OFSA, this is all Ontario. I'm expecting the place to be going crazy, and it wasn't. You know, but there were some crazy people. We were trying to be crazy people and shout, and I know their ears are underwater, but it doesn't matter when they're your kids. You want to shout. Interesting, though, that there is this team off to our right, and the coach, I love to meet the coach because they rocked it. They won a lot of medals or first, second, third places. But he taught his team, when they're swimming, you stand and you cheer. And they like stood out like a sore thumb. Do you guys know what the haka is? Yeah. You know, from, is it New Zealand or Australia? New Zealand. If you've never seen the haka, you got to look it up. But these guys, like, they're crazy weird. But they do this thing, oh, you know, and they're all screaming. Well, there was a guy on the team that was doing like a swimming haka. And he was like facing his team and they were all into it. And when they were doing something like the butterfly and their ears would come out of the water, they'd be like, go, go. So every, you know, they had to time it the right way. But I'll tell you, their team rocked it. There's something in the shout. There's something in the joy. And we got to learn that. And so when you're in here and you feel it, I want to encourage you, you know, like a good friend, where is he at? He wanted to run. Howie, where's Howie? There you are, Howie. You missed your opportunity to share about today. When you feel like running, run. When you feel like shouting, obviously if it's a really quiet song, you got to know moments. But man, when you're like in praise, you're like, oh, I just want to shout. That's God. Shout. Because there's a breaker anointing in the shout. Amen. Amen. If you feel like doing the haka, we could do the Antioch. Yeah, they get these big eyes and they look, anyway, possessed with the Holy Spirit, hopefully. All right, we're going to carry on with our Rooted series. Really excited about this series because I'm learning more as I dive in, and I'm really hoping I can get all this out today if I can. So we have a PowerPoint I want to show you. And so if you could put up, my dear Aaron, the first slide. Hopefully it is pretty small, but I wanted to put as much on as I could. Some of the scriptures between what I spoke and what Pastor spoke on, Pastor Rod. One of the main scriptures we want you to make sure you have written down is Colossians 2:7. And it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. There you go again. Thanksgiving. You cannot read the Bible without wanting to be thankful. And so if you are in here and you're like, I don't really like to worship, begin to ask the Lord, Lord, change my heart. Help me to want, because worship is a natural byproduct of love. Like, I think I tell my wife and hopefully my kids on a regular basis how much I love them. I love the fact that when we talk, even in the hallway, my kids are not ashamed when we're at school or at off, so we're walking away, and one of us usually goes, hey, love you, and they'll go, love you. And I love that. You know, I tell my wife on a daily basis, you're beautiful, I love you. That should be natural. It's a byproduct of love. And so with abounding in it with thanksgiving, I believe when you're rooted and built up in him, and we're going to look at in Ephesians, it talks about, we'll read it there, verse Start at verse 16, well, 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Anybody want to be strengthened? Amen. Through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We got faith again up there in Colossians. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to be aware of something. It does not say be rooted and grounded in works. It does not say to be rooted and grounded in law. It says to be rooted and grounded in love. And that's going to become key as we move on today and down the road. But just remember, you want to be rooted and built up in him and established in faith. You want to be rooted and strengthened and rooted in love. Amen. What we talked about the first day when I was preaching is the fact that roots both go down like a tap root, and they both go across. And the two things I want you to remember from that sermon is the purpose of roots are stability and nourishment. I talked about the fact that the world is changing so quickly, but one of the things that's changing is most people are not rooted and established. And so we see people, the Bible says that they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because people are just, you know, if you don't know the word, if you don't know him, you're going to be tossed to and fro. But when you have a tap root that goes deep, and when you have roots that go to the side, you can be established and you can be strong. And if you remember that video, and I was going to post that, I'll have to do that on our Facebook site. I love that video because the seed breaks open and all the roots start going down. Before it ever goes up, it goes down. Tell your neighbor, make sure your roots go down before you go up. We live in a day and age where we see in Hollywood people crash and burn on a regular basis. More than ever before, we see people that shoot to fame, because media can do that now. They shoot to fame and they burn and crash hard. Hard. Lives destroyed. Not just their life, but they often take many out with them. We don't want to be type of people like that. Now, unfortunately, we don't just see Hollywood people crashing and burning. We see people crashing and burning, pastors crashing and burning. We see people that are taking down entire congregations with them. Well, I don't want to be one of those. And by the way, if you think I'm perfect, talk to my wife and my kids and my friends, because I try to be as real as I can. I'm in growth just along with you, right? We're all growing. But God wants to do a deep work inside of us. But I want you to know, if we're going to be rooted and grounded in something, it has to be love. Say that with me. It has to be love. How many know that if you're trying to do things to avoid divorce, you're in trouble? Meaning that if you're already at that point that your whole life is, what do I do to avoid divorce? That looks totally different than, what do I do out of love? You know, if I'm like, I got to do all these things for Kristen, and if I don't, she's going to divorce me, we're already in trouble. But when it comes from, man, I love my wife so much, and I always go back to marriage because to me, that's the greatest example. What can I do for Krista because I love her? What can I do for my kids because I love them? You know, we went to OFSA in Toronto. Wasn't the thing necessarily that fit in my schedule, but we just said, we want to be there. Want to be there to see our girls. And they did great. We wanted to be there for that. I didn't do it because if I didn't, they'd be angry with me, because they said, it's okay. You don't have to come if you don't want to, or if you can't. They knew we wanted to, but we did because we love them. All right. John 15:5, and this is verse 5 and verse 8. This is what we looked at. We're going to come back to John. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Here's the key verse. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Now, Pastor Rod said something last week. He said, are you ready to work? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to work? Because, church, mighty ones know how to work. The question is, what are we going to work on? And that's what I want to talk about today. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Interesting. It's not 22. Hold on one second. It is Proverbs. You guys there? Aaron, if you could go to the last slide, I do have it. If you can go right back to that, just go through to the last slide. Proverbs 24 says this, verse 30. So we said we're ready to work, but this says, I went by the field of a lazy man. Some versions say sluggard. I'm trying to remember what version I have up there. I had different ones that I like to look at. I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. This says, I went by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding, and lo, was all grown over with thistles and nettles and covered the face thereof, and its stone wall was broken down. And I looked and I took to it to heart. It's the word I wanted you to catch out of this version. I looked to it to heart, and I saw, and I received instruction. We're in a day and age, we want to receive instruction. And here is a proverb, and he's looking at the fact, he says, I went by the field. It's like walking down the road. If you ever walked, you know, you knew this house was beautiful, and then you come back maybe to go visit. You know, you haven't visited where you grew up, and this house that you used to know that was so beautiful hasn't been lived in for years. I think of Petrolia. I think of that house, Fairbank House, you know, and watching it over the years begin to fall apart. And this is what he's referring to. I went by this vineyard. Another way to look at it is a garden, a farm. I went by there and I saw what's supposed to be a beautiful land. I saw all these thistles and weeds and nettles, and it's overgrown. And the wall that's supposed to be there for protection, it's broken down. Like, this is a sad story. I think if you were the owner of that vineyard and you passed away and you're watching, if you can watch from heaven, however that works, you're like, man, nobody's taking care of my vineyard. But what if that's you and you're like, I'm supposed to be taking care of it, because that's what it talks about. It talks about a lazy man that's sitting around going, well, you know, I'll get to that another day. Anybody else amazed at how quickly your house can fall apart? Or if you have kids, how quickly you can clean your house and 2 hours later it can look like it did? What? Got to do it all again. But this is talking about a serious scenario of a lazy man who doesn't do what he's supposed to do. The question I have, it says, Pastor Rob was saying, we want to work. We have work to do. Are you ready to work? The question I have is, and I've said it, what are we supposed to work on? So we're talking about being rooted. We're talking about, in John, it says, you will glorify God if you bear fruit. So how many know and realize that we are supposed to be fruitful? Raise your hand. It's not really an option, in the sense that if you follow Jesus Christ, your life should be fruitful. And we're looking at the fact that if it's not fruitful, we got to go and find out why. Maybe it's the lazy part of it. Maybe there's something going on. But the reality is, if you follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hear me, you are supposed to be fruitful. Now, let me ask you this. Can a fruit tree, can I, let me do it this way. If I'm a fruit tree, can I make fruit happen? Or is it a process that happens? It's a process. A fruit tree doesn't go, I gotta make a fruit. Here you go, apple. Good! It doesn't work that way. But it is a process. And I want to take you back, and we haven't gone there in a while, at least I haven't gone there in a while. I'm going to take you, and I just got blown away today, but I want to take you to Genesis, and we have talked about Genesis a lot, but we need to go back. If you've been with us long enough, you know that we talk about Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis 2, because I want to take you on a bit of a journey, because I got convicted getting ready with this message, and I realized sometimes I do things totally in the wrong order. Any men in here struggle with reading instructions? Are we man enough to admit it? And then when you get, what are instructions? And then when you get like 5 bolts, 4 screws, and something else left over, you're like, oh, they must have provided us with extras. I was talking to James about that last night, you know. As a pilot, I'm thankful that he is really careful to make sure every nut and bolt goes on. But he was saying people that work on their cars in their backyard, I don't know what that goes to. But thank you for pilots that don't forget nuts and bolts. But sometimes we don't always do things in the right order. Sometimes we think it's our responsibility and it's not. And that's where I want to go today. The title of my message, actually, keep your hand in Genesis. I'm going to take you right to the end at the beginning, and then we're going to go back. So keep your hand there. We're going to go right to the end in Revelation. I'm going to show you an interesting scripture, and then we're going to work backwards towards it. Go to the very last chapter, very almost last verse of Revelations. Revelation 22. And it's, if you have a red lettered Bible, this is in red because this is actually Jesus talking. Revelation 22, verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jump to verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? He's the beginning and the end. And then he says this interesting statement. He says, hey, I'm the root of David and I'm the offspring of David. You know, as people, that's impossible for us. You can't be both the seed and the offspring. It's impossible. You could give seed and have an offspring, but I don't give a seed and become the offspring. You understand what I'm saying? It's impossible. But Jesus clearly states, hey, there's David. I was the root of David, and I'm the offspring of David. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the root, I'm the fruit. So here's my point. I'm going to tell you up front so you don't forget it. This is my title. From root to fruit, it's all him. From root to fruit, it's all him. But we got to figure out our part. But yet, from root to beginning, the Alpha and the fruit, the Omega, it's all him. But what's our part? So let's go back to Genesis. I love Genesis. We fell in love with Genesis a long time ago. Tamara Winslow came and made some of this stuff come alive. But the more I dive into it, the more I see it's amazing. What I love about Genesis in the garden is because that's how he wanted it to be from the beginning. He made it to be that way. And there's keys in there because our life now, new covenant, should have a form and look of the garden. Everybody say that's good. And if it's not looking that way, there's something that needs to happen. Maybe we are void of understanding. Maybe we're lazy. Maybe there's something that needs to be tweaked. Maybe you need some discipline in your life because that verse says he came upon it, took instruction, and another version says took discipline. I think one of the most frustrating things in life is trying to help people that don't want to be helped. Anybody else amen that? Which usually means we got to step back and go, okay, when you're ready, let me know. Because we just bang our heads against the wall. In Genesis, we're not going to go through verse 1 or chapter 1. It's all about the formation. We're going to pick it up verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, this is the history of the heavens. Am I going too fast? Everybody okay? I'm trying to talk fast because I got a lot here. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. And this is the key I want you to look at. There was no man to till the ground. So it's saying he's, all these things are needing to happen, but he's like, hey, but there's no man to cultivate the earth yet. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. One of the things I think we need to train our brain, you know, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames came out and so convinced us that God was like, it was this scary thing constantly. We need to train our brain to read the love story that's happening. Because when somebody gets, you know, on the ground and breathes into your nostrils to come alive, to me, that's intimate because everything else that he did, he commanded it to come. He spoke and it was, and then he stops everything, gets on his hands and knees and breathes into our nostrils. I think that's beautiful. Verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted. I love this. You know, in John 15, he talks about him, the Father is the vine dresser. And here we have in Genesis, right back at the beginning, here you have God planting a garden. God's into gardens. But again, he could have just made everything happen. And he already had created the trees and all that. But I think he saves a spot and he goes, I'm going to make a beautiful garden for the one that I love. I love the word. The word planted actually means established. He established a garden. Another word for garden is vineyard. Eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. It's like I bet he was proud to go, man, look what I made for you. I'm so excited. Come on to the garden. I love that. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst or in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil was there as well. If you could go, I want you to look at this amplified version, and it says, the Lord God planted a garden, an oasis in the east. Is there anybody here? Okay, let's do it this way. How many love to be in nature one way, shape, or form? Raise your hand. Is there anybody in here that does not get refreshed by nature one way, shape, or form? We got one. Walter, you always mess me up, brother. No, you don't. We're bowling partners, though, now. All right? He doesn't get that. That's interesting. I can't go to a city and sit in a hustle-bustle city and be recharged. I sometimes love the view of a city. I like the skyline of a city. But if I'm going to go get recharged, man, I even do it now. I've actually found some really great YouTube, you know, 3-4 hour things of nature, and I just put it on while I'm doing some work because I love to hear water. I love to hear birds. I love it. There's nothing like right now when you're waking up, minus the time change, but you're waking up. Anybody hearing birds? Yeah. Ooh, it's like spring's coming. Man, I love going, and I just love being in nature. So it calls it an oasis in the east, in Eden, delight, land of happiness. Okay, so this is Old Testament, but we're supposed to get back to that. How many want to be in a land of delight and a land of happiness? Me. And he put the man who he had created there, and in the garden, the Lord caused to grow from the ground every tree that is desirable and pleasing to the sight and good, suitable, pleasant for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of experiential knowledge, recognition of the difference between good and evil was there. I want you to look at the words that are highlighted. Who caused things to grow? God. Isn't that interesting? He just said a few minutes ago that there was nobody to till the earth, but then he says, I planted a garden and I, the Lord, cause it to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord causes things to grow. I also want you to be aware that there are trees in the garden. Not just the tree of life, there are trees. Now, I have a picture, if you can put up that picture, hon. You know, that's just, you know, you can't really find the Garden of Eden. It doesn't really exist anymore. But I thought, this is, to me, this would be beautiful. And this is like hardly anything compared to what the Garden of Eden would look like. But I could take a chair and sit there all day. Anybody else? Anybody would like just the sound, to read scripture there? I love it. And that's got like probably maybe 12 or 13 different trees and plants. But can you imagine what it would have looked like to be lush, beautiful? The trees, all different types of trees, all different types of flowers, all different types of colors. It must have been beautiful. But here's what I want you to understand. He's putting man in the garden. There's the tree of life. We don't have time, but if you go to John 1:1, if you know anything, John clearly states that Jesus is the Word and the Word is life. Jesus is the tree of life. Okay? I didn't go there in John, Revelation, go back. It begins, Revelation 22 talks about the tree of life in the midst of the river, and it flows out of that. And the tree, the leaves are healing for the nations. It starts with a tree, it ends with a tree. It starts in the garden, it ends in the garden, and we're supposed to be living there. We're supposed to be living there. The problem is that we don't. The question is why? Why are we not living there? What I want to share is that it says trees for a purpose, I believe. Because how many know that you're not supposed to be just fruitful in one area of your life? Or let me say it this way. I don't want to just be fruitful in one area of my life. I want to be fruitful in every area of my life. Amen. If I have the choice to go, well, I can be fruitful with Steve as a friend or my wife. Well, I'm going to pick my wife. But God's not like that. He's like, this is a garden and there's fruit everywhere. I want you to be fruitful with your relationship with Steve and, of course, with your wife and with your kids and with your finances and with your job and with your neighbor. Because if you look at Ephesians, he says the fullness of God. It's not the partialness of God. He wants to give us the fullness. Anybody here want the fullness? I think it's a season. We need the fullness. But I'll tell you, if you've got one little teeny root in the ground, and that's it, it's got a hard ground that it's trying to get into, and Pastor Rod talked about that, and we're going to get into that a little bit. If you've got one little teeny root trying to get into this hard ground, you ain't going to get a whole lot of nourishment. You're not going to get a whole lot of strength. And if you don't have nourishment and strength, you're not going to really have a plant. And if you don't have a plant, you're surely not going to have fruit. Now, it takes work to have a healthy relationship, right? We're going to go there in a second. All right. We're going to skip to verse 15. For chapter 2, Genesis. Then the Lord God took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. We're going to come back to that. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. In verse chapter 1 of verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Right off the bat, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Then he takes man, and he puts him in a beautiful garden, and he's excited. And then he says, I'm going to command you to not do something. Because that's the way often we would read it. Because we think the word command is a negative, dangerous, ugly thing. But really, if the heart of someone loves us, like a parent, you know, when you tell your child and you come strong with the words, hey, ooh, you got close to the stove. Don't put your hand on the stove. You're going to burn it. Does grace look more like, hey, don't put your hand on the stove? Or does it look more like, I'm not going to touch him. I'm going to be gracious to him. I'm going to let him burn his hand. Is that grace? No. So God's like, hey, I love you guys so much. I've created you. I've created a garden for you. I'm so excited. I'm putting you in the garden and everything is absolutely amazing, but I'm going to command you. I'm strongly telling you, commanding you, don't eat this tree because everything goes south if you do. Just don't eat the tree. But you can, like one tree. They've got the tree of life and every other tree. Isn't it funny how we get caught up with that one thing? That one scratch? That one little nick in the floor? That's been my journey to learn grace. I remember Pastor Jeff, the one time I was asking him, and I had a problem with youth ministry, and I'm asking him, and he looks at me. I should have been wiser at the point and just wrote that down for the rest of my life and just worked on it. But he's like, man, he says, you could have a Porsche in front of you. Basically, like, you have a Porsche in front of you, and you keep finding the dent. It's funny, eh? We got the whole Porsche, the engine, the wheels, everything. But, oh, there's a microscopic dent. It's ruined. Okay, so we're back to this, and he says, don't eat the tree. But he says these two things. He says, I'm putting you in the garden. I want you to tend it, and I want you to keep it. And we're going to look at those two words. If you've been with us a long time, you will understand that word tend is the actual word to till, to work the soil, to cultivate. That's the initial words of it. So he's literally saying, I'm putting you in the garden, and I want you to keep this garden. I want you to keep the soil. I want you to, you know, keep it so things can grow. But that's your job. Come on, Adam. I want you to be in the garden. I want you to just kind of keep it. This is fun. Let's just keep the weeds out. Let's keep it nice and, you know, good soil, and let's let things grow. I got a video. I don't have time to show you. If you have a chance, there's a great show on Netflix or a movie called The Biggest Little Farm. Anybody see it yet? It's such, you don't even have to be all about gardening and all that. It's a couple in California that basically want to go out. They're tired of living in the city. They want to have a farm, but their goal is to do it completely natural. They don't want any pesticides. They don't want to kill anything. They want to figure out how nature works with itself. It's the most cool thing ever. I wish I could show you. I tried to find pictures, but when they drive up, you will see what it looks like to have Proverbs 24. I went by the field of a lazy man. When they try to stick their shovel in the dirt, it is so hard they can't even get it in an inch. And they begin a 7-year process of cultivating the land. And you will not believe what it looks like when they're done. And they figure out after a lot of trial and error and frustration, how does nature work? But man, when you walk through it, and they have tours if you want to go and go to California, they have tours where it looks like the Garden of Eden. And as soon as they'd plant something, all these things would show up, birds, and then they'd have these other things show up, and it would cause a problem. And they figured, okay, this thing eats this thing, so they brought these things in. And before you know it, you have so much life in this garden. I'm like, this is what the world needs to go back to. But it took a man and a wife to go and till the land. What's amazing, Pastor Claude, I think you brought this a long time ago, that word till or to keep, to tend, also means to worship. Did you know that when you worship, you are worshiping your land? And Pastor Rod clearly showed us last week, the land is our heart. So when you're thinking garden, think heart. Right here. It's the innermost man. It really means the totality of man, but think heart and think body, soul, spirit, all the things that go with it. When we're worshiping, when you're like, well, I'm not a worshiper and I don't sing. Did you know that you were missing your opportunity to tend the land? And when you begin to worship, that's why as a church, as pastors, we're like, man, you got to worship. You got to worship. You don't have to. Actually, no, you don't have to. You get to. You get to. I say have to because if you know what's happening, it'll blow your mind. But when you're worshiping, you're tending your heart. You're getting your mind off all those little problems. You're pulling the weeds out. You're like, Lord, I love you. That's how we tend our land. And then it says this word to keep, shamar. To tend is avad. I believe it's avad. To keep is this word shamar, and the word shamar in many translations, it's different wording, but it's the basic is to guard, to keep, to protect. So what do we have in Proverbs? We had Proverbs 22, and it talked about the fact that there was overgrown weeds and thistles and nettles, which means basically if you took a shovel, it probably would have been so hard you couldn't grow anything. The only thing, isn't it crazy? The only thing that grows in a drought is weeds. So frustrating. My grass is dead, but I got these bright green weeds. and you can't get them out, right? Because the roots are like stuck in the ground in cement, which means that there was nobody to tend it. And then it says the wall was broken down, which clearly states there was nobody there to protect it, which means that the foxes got in and all the things that shouldn't be in got in. So here's God clearly saying you need to tend, to cultivate this relationship, and you need to protect it. Now, I'm going to go back to marriage because it's, to me, the easiest thing. How many, if you're married, realize that it takes cultivating your relationship and protecting it? If you didn't know that, that's marriage 101. I cannot come home, not talk to my wife, or yell at her, worse, not do anything with her, not do anything for her, not protect her, use my words to even hurt her, but then go at the end of the night, let's be fruitful and multiply, baby. It doesn't work that way. Women shake your head and go, he's speaking the truth. But because my relationship with my wife is rooted and grounded in love, I'm going to sound like I said a lie, love, life, it's rooted in life, but love, I'm not trying to think if I do this, I get this. I think I love her. I'm going to cultivate this relationship. And for 22 and a half years, I've been cultivating a relationship. For us, that means we get away. We always say to our kids, we came first, then you came, and when you're gone, we'll still be here. What you don't realize is that the greatest thing that we can do is actually get away. But that's not fair. You know, they don't say that now. They're like, yeah, go ahead, get away. When they're younger, they're like, I don't want to go to Oma's. You know, I'm sure they did, but you know, they don't want us to leave. Stick your foot in your mouth. I didn't mean that in a negative, but they don't want to leave mom and dad, right? They want to be with mom and dad. I can clearly remember my mom leaving and crying out the window. I have these images, the abuse. No, I just remember they were getting away. Same thing. And it's like, no, honey, you don't realize that if I don't get away, the atmosphere in this house is going to be worse. But if we get away to cultivate our relationship, it's a win-win for everyone. So we've taken trips together. We try to go on dates. There's a lot of things we do. You know, Krista's the bookkeeper in the house, but she's heading into tax season. So guess what I was doing on Saturday? I was learning the bookkeeping program. I'm like, I can't believe I'm back to this again. It's a totally new program. So I got to go like kindergarten class and learn how to do it. And she's teaching me. I'm like, oh gosh. Why? Because she's going to get really busy. So I'm going to cultivate our relationship by taking something off her plate that I am capable of doing and learning how to do it. It's all part of cultivating relationship. And I protect our relationship. I keep things from coming in that try to destroy it, distractions. You know, if anybody, I'd give my life for my wife and my kids. I'm sure all of you would too. But if I'm walking down the road and somebody, you know, something's about to happen, I will jump in, whatever that looks like. So this is God putting us in the garden, which represents the heart. And he says, I want you to tend and keep it. I want you to cultivate it, and I want you to protect it. But the moral of the story I'm trying to get at is, I am not growing the tree and the fruit. I'm simply tending, guarding, protecting, and cultivating the soil that the tree is in. And the soil is my heart. Pastor Rod talked about that last week. My job is to cultivate the heart. And you know what's amazing? When you have good soil, I talked about it 2 weeks ago, you know, at the end of the year when I go to take out my plants, and if it's been good soil, I can't get the plants out. The whole pot comes with it because the roots have grown so far. If you cultivate your heart, the roots are going to grow. I don't sit there and, you know, the plant doesn't go, I'm going to make my roots grow. It simply happens because the soil's good. And if the roots grow and the soil's good and you nourish it and you cultivate it, what, it's amazing. The thing starts to grow. The plant starts to grow. And all of a sudden, because you've done all these things, what happens? Fruit naturally occurs. You don't try to make the fruit and the plant happen. A plant doesn't even try to make it happen. It's the process that happens. So what's my point? When I'm rooted and grounded in love in my relationship, fruit naturally happens in my relationship. When I'm rooted and grounded in love with the Lord, it's funny, isn't it? Maybe you need to see it. Turn to John again, John 15, please. We still good? A couple more minutes? Look at the process in John 15. At no part does he ever tell you how to bear fruit in the sense of on your own. The whole time he says it very clearly. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Remember, he's the root. He's the offspring. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So again, okay, change your mindset, because a lot of times we read this and we think, oh, he's angry and he's going to rip things off. No, no, if you understand cultivating, you understand what he's doing here. His whole process in John 15 is trying to make us grow fruit. Who grows the fruit? Who grows the tree? In the garden, who is the cause of growth? God. So what's he trying to do the whole time? He's trying to get us to be with him so he can cause growth. And anything that gets in the way, the Father is the vine dresser, so he's also cultivating us, and he's trying to go, man, we got to get these things out. There's things in the way. Okay? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Why? Because he wants us to bear fruit. He's going to get that stuff out of there. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? Because he wants it to bear more fruit. He's like, you guys are incredible. I'm going to prune a little more so you can have even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Everybody say that. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't bear fruit by yourself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. And I could talk about that for a while because we read that the wrong way, but let's just move on. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Just keep reading a little further. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you can keep my commandments, right? We read it like that. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He goes right back to being rooted and grounded in love in him. And then he says, I got a commandment for you. We're right back to the garden. I've got one thing. I want you to love people. But listen, I cannot love my wife properly and my children properly if I'm not grounded and rooted in his love. It's impossible. I'm only going to give an earthly love. But when I can get an agape love, it's going to change everything. Again, here's the point. Here's the point. This is what I've done for years. You want to know my biggest mistake in life? I think. I'm sure I have many, but I'll tell you, this is one of the biggest ones. I try hard to make fruit. I really do. I try hard to make things happen. It's easy to get down. I don't know about you, but I have some insecurities that make me look around and go, man, they're bearing more fruit than I am. I got to bear more fruit. So I begin to work hard. Anybody else ever get caught in that? And then you realize if you read it, you're like, that's not my job. I am called to bear fruit, but my job is to abide. My job is to tend and keep the soil of my heart. Well, if I notice already I've got insecurity and jealousy, I've got roots bearing up. I've got weeds bearing up with deep, ugly roots that are starting to get in the way of abiding with him, which means I can't be fully bearing fruit. So it's often we want to go and we want to work harder to bear more fruit. And he's like, no, get in my presence. Get in my presence. Get in the word. Because without me, you can do nothing. Why? Because he grows the trees and he grows the fruit. So if you find yourself in a cycle where you're frustrated because you're not bearing the fruit that you want to, stop trying to bear fruit. Stop trying to be, it's not your job. It will naturally happen. Our love naturally happens because I'm rooted in him. I don't have to try to love my wife. I love my wife. You know, I didn't have to try to bear fruit and children. It was a natural byproduct of love. And anything that's done that's not out of love, it's not a natural byproduct. It's usually called rape. And it's not love. It's not a byproduct that you want. Am I making myself clear? I want to read a few things that I wrote down. Remember what I said, root from fruit, it's all him. From root to fruit, it's all him. I said a child is designed to be produced through intimacy. If not, it's rape or it's forced fruit. I don't want any forced fruit in my life. Because you know that that's the stuff that he burns. That's the stuff when Matthew and he says, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? Do we not cast out demons in your name? And he says, hey, get away from me. I don't even know you. Forced fruit. You know what it looks like? It's different when you're sitting there. You know, Dorm was telling me a story and went to a teen challenge graduation and he saw a friend of his that he, you know, a long time ago used to come through the Salvation Army, you know, and he got set free and on fire. And here he is with a woman that he's about to marry. Is that correct? And all of a sudden, Dorman starts prophesying. It wasn't a forced prophecy. It was simply the Lord going, hey, you love me. I love you. I want something for this person. Here we go. But if I'm looking around going, who do I prophesy over? I gotta prophesy over someone. You know, it's important that I gotta look cool here. Who do I prophesy over? That's forced fruit. It's different when you're like, oh man, the Lord just dropped a word on me. Why? Because I'm intimate and I'm abiding in him. I said, intimacy is not the byproduct of a child, but a child is the fruit of intimacy. And then I said this, isn't it harder to stay intimate after child? Nobody wants to be honest here? Isn't it interesting when you have kids, you have to work and cultivate more intimacy? Your child doesn't take that away. And I think sometimes we get so fruitful in our life, that's why the Lord comes and prunes. He's like, let's go back to the beginning again. Let's work on our intimacy. We must remain diligent and vigilant to remain intimate after the fruit is produced. I said this, we have a work mentality in a new covenant kingdom. We are still thinking with works in mind. That's why he said be rooted in love and not in works, because right away we want to go and work. Now, that does not mean we don't go on the streets. I want you to be clear. It doesn't mean that we don't do things for God, but it should be coming out of love, not for love. It should be not something you have to do. It's something that you want to do. And here's the cool thing. He created us all differently. And did you know this? That it takes all of us to make the image of Jesus come alive? There is not one person in the room that could be Jesus on their own. But the beauty of, I loved last week, I loved having, you know, them up there. We had the baby dedication. I love the fact that we're getting nationalities in here because that's also the image of God. But none of us can do it on our own. So when you are good at what you do and you're good at what you do and you're good at what you do and you're good at what you, we all show what God looks like. I can't be Stephen. Can't do the British accent. Probably could if I practiced, but you know, there's more to Stephen. Well, now I'm not going to try it because it usually comes out Spanish or something weird. Last time I tried to do Spanish, it came out Japanese. So Pastor Rod's like, you're trying to talk Spanish? That is not Spanish. Stop. So, to close, to get out of this. So often we try to create fruit instead of letting love and abiding with him let fruit be the byproduct. So if you're struggling in your life and you're discouraged and you're like, I'm not good enough, I'm not bearing enough, I'm not doing enough, chances are that you've either stopped cultivating your heart, stopped protecting your heart, and maybe it looks a little bit like Proverbs 24 with things that are overgrown. So the best thing you can do in life right now is start to get back and spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here. Help me to cultivate and pull the weeds in my heart that are keeping me from you. Help me to protect when things are getting in. The point of the story is, unless you abide with him, you will bear no fruit. And I see a lot of Christians right now that have no value for the word of God on a daily basis. You can't grow fruit if you're not in the word. You can't grow fruit if you're not a worshiper. It's part of the makeup of what he's called us. That's why I showed you in Proverbs. Shout, worship, joy, because it's part of cultivating our heart. Amen? Let me stand. I've rambled. It's one of those things, you just want to help people get it because you've been there. There's seasons where you got to go home and you got to learn to clean the house because that's what your lover needs. And there's seasons where cleaning the house is really not important because you need to sit and talk on the couch. There's seasons where they need to be encouraged. We need to just sit and abide and learn the seasons and learn what's needed. And that's all part of abiding. Because when you do that, fruit is created without you even trying. It naturally happens. Amen. So Lord, I pray that you teach us to abide in this season. When the world right now is trying to sow the cares of the world, and that word cares means anxiousness, it means fear, Lord, we choose the opposite. We choose to worship you. We choose to trust you. We choose to get into your presence on a daily basis, and we say, Lord, here are we. Here am I. Show me your ways. Lord, I thank you that we are fruitful people because we are abiding with you. Help us to grow in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.